This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, author, speaker, and president of Eagle Forum, a grassroots organization giving voice to conservative and pro-family values. Washington University in St. Louis recently awarded her its highest honor, the honorary degree of Doctor of Humane Letters. And now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
An Illinois high school teacher was recently disciplined for informing his students that they have a Fifth Amendment right to avoid self-incrimination. The students were asked to take a survey that included obnoxious questions about drug and alcohol use. The survey was not anonymous. Each student's name was printed at the top of his paper. The survey was designed to associate the students' names with their responses so that school officials could determine which students might require therapy or so-called extra help. The teacher who told the students they have Fifth Amendment rights should have been recognized as a hero. Instead, he was punished by the school board. He was assigned a list of probationary actions to complete. Only one school board member opposed the punishment. I think the board's decision was unacceptable. Schools should not punish teachers for informing students about their constitutional rights. The school superintendent had an appalling justification for punishing the teacher. He publicly stated that there was no Fifth Amendment issue at hand, but students were being asked about drug and alcohol use, and for a high school student to admit use of drugs or alcohol is admitting to breaking the law. That's precisely what the Fifth Amendment protects us from doing. School officials should not be punishing those who teach our children about the Bill of Rights. Teachers should understand and respect and teach kids about the U.S. Constitution. The school's attack on the Constitution also encroached on the rights of parents. It is the parents' duty, not the government's, to make sure that children are free from substance abuse. Caring parents should be the ones to help teenagers steer clear of destructive behavior, not government employees. And parents could serve this role if schools would not keep interfering and pretending that the village should raise the child instead of his own parents.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. As a parent, are your core values being threatened by the local school district? Do you feel called to protect your own children and be an advocate for your community? At eagleforum.org, enter the blog with Phyllis Schlafly and you'll be informed and equipped to make a difference. That's at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web, this is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next 3 hours, along with Nancy Levant. Good to have you with us once again as we document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national, state, and individual autonomy. And today is the 30th of November, 2013. Hope you folks had a good Thanksgiving. And we are going to have quite a broadcast today. We are in the process right now, or have been, of trying to organize a panel of folks to come on and discuss. We have some academics coming on here to discuss the Constitution. And in light of the fact that the other side is very, very actively trying to undo the Constitution, get it to the point where basically it doesn't even exist anymore. And we know this Constitutional Convention push is going on all across the country right now. We talked about that last week. And in that vein, folks, first of all, I want to thank all the folks who responded to our call that we put out last week on the broadcast to get folks to step forward and help us with the monitoring of the states. Now, we do have some more folks that we need to bring on board, so if you're interested in doing that, you can certainly call me at 517-879-4630. Once again, that's 517-879-4630. Leave a message. It's just with your contact information, best number to call and what have you, and if you'd like to help participate in the monitoring of the states. It's not a big commitment, and we can certainly tell you the stuff, give you the information you need to do it. This, you know, there's not much at stake. It's just your country. That's all, you know. So whatever that's worth to you. So anyway, I hope folks will help us do that. And I do have some numbers I want to give out real quickly. And by the way, I posted these on the website just before the broadcast began today. These are the numbers of the folks. This Michigan bill, this Michigan joint resolution that's currently pending in the House of Representatives right now, as we said last week, it passed the Senate, and it is currently pending in the House Financial Liability Reform Committee here in Michigan. And so the numbers of the committee members, these committee members need to be called. Now, last week we gave you the committee chair. I didn't readily have the information available for all the other numbers, but I want to real quickly go down this list. And so if you want to write, please write these numbers down. Every single one of these numbers begins with 517-373. So I'm not going to give that out every time. I'm just going to give you the last four digits of the phone number so we can get through the list quickly. Again, that's every single one of these numbers start with area code 517 and the prefix 373. So I'll just give you the last four numbers for each one of these things. And again, this entire list is on the website. I'm doing this primarily for the folks who don't have internet who are listening. It would be Alberta Talabi is the first name. Alberta Talabi And the last four digits of the phone number is 1776. 1776. Then there's Rosemary Robinson. Rosemary Robinson, and it's 1008. Then there's Phil Cavanaugh. C-A-V-A-N-A-G-H, Phil Cavanaugh, and it's 0857. Turning the page here, there's Todd McMillan, and it's 1773. There's Cindy Denby, D-E-N-B-Y, and that's 8835. Then there's Jeff Irwin, I-R-W-I-N, and it's 2577. Then the chairman, as we gave you last week, was Earl Pulaski. The last four digits of his number is 1795. There's Mike Shirky, S-H-I-R-K-E-Y. And the last four digits of that number is 1775. Then there's Mike Calton, C-A-L-L-T-O-N, and it's 0842. Roger Victory, 1830. Then there's Wayne Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, 1766. And then there's finally, okay, I guess Wayne Schmidt was it. That's all of them. So I realize I gave that out real fast, and I'm trying to preserve our precious airtime here for our guests. But I wanted to give that to you folks. If you want the list, again, it is available on the website right in a very prominent spot under my name in the main page. Go there and please call those numbers. Call those people. If you can't talk to them at their office, they all have voicemail. But every single one of those numbers, again, they start with area code 517-373. I gave you the last four digits of the numbers to preserve time. But that whole list is up on our website at governamerica.com, very prominently on the main page. All right. I don't know. Anyway, Nancy Levant's waiting in the wings. Nancy, go ahead. And how you doing this morning? At least I think she's waiting in the wings.
Yep, we're here.
There you are.
It's a beautiful day in Michigan. We had a lot of aerial spraying yesterday, which was disconcerting, of course. And I want to tell you that our guest, Aaron Bollinger, and several other people, you had me read or listen to an interview with Aaron and also read some of his articles. And let me tell you something, Darren. I learned a whole lot more about constitutional conventions. I am very excited, to talk to Aaron today.
Yeah, Aaron is one of the founders of the Sherman Institute, and they teach constitutional law. They teach about the proper function of government and how government should be run and all the procedures and all that. And so I think we have Aaron now. Aaron, welcome to the broadcast.
Aaron is here. I hope I can live up to that kind of an introduction. Woo!
Well, I appreciate you being on such short notice. I got a hold of Aaron earlier in the week. I think it was last weekend. I listened to a radio broadcast that you did with, I think her name was Anna Yeasley.
Yeah, Anna Yeasley down in Virginia.
Yeah, and it was just excellent. And I wanted to bring you on after that broadcast and have your share your expertise with our audience here. Some of the same things that you said are points that we and others on this broadcast have made as well. But the dangers of this constitutional convention, I think, are lost on many people. And I can't really think of anything more important to talk about, Aaron.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'd like to talk about all the things Sherman Institute's doing to help bring back real academia. But first things first, we got to protect our constitutional liberties to freely educate people, which, of course, is the core of the problem here. We talk about sending delegates to a convention. Okay, what is that? Sounds cool. We haven't done one for a while. Even Tom Jefferson said every generation must fight for liberty and do their part, and this could be our generation's time to just get in there and make our footprint on the future of the world. Hang on a minute, folks. Hang on 1 second. There just aren't enough people as educated as James Madison and Ben Franklin and the people who were at that convention the first time.
Okay, why don't you hold it right there? Unfortunately, we're already up to the first break, and we'll hit the ground running when we come back, okay, folks? And also, we'll bring up some other folks, at least one other, and there may be some other people joining us as this hour progresses. But you're listening to Govern America. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have Aaron Bollinger on from the Sherman Institute. We'll be bringing up David Whitney, I think, when we come back from the break. Stay with us. We'll continue in a moment.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Before.
back. This is Government America. Darren Weeks, Nancy Levant, and Aaron Bollinger of the Sherman Institute. And by the way, the website for the Sherman Institute is shermaninstitute.info. They also have shermaninstitute.org. So go there and check out the website. I think the .info one is linked up. We didn't get the other one linked up in time for the show. But anyway, shermaninstitute.info and .org are the websites for the guests for today. And I think we also have David Whitney waiting in the wings. He's a pastor. He's researched the recently leaned upon notion of a limited convention that occurred in 1861. And he's going to explain for us how warped so far out of reality this whole thing is. But David, come on in. Join the conversation.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Glad to be with you this morning.
It's good to be with you. Good to have you. And Aaron, just before the break, you were talking about some of the things the Founding Fathers did and said, and I wanted to give you a chance to finish your thoughts there, sir.
Well, it's real simple where the education of the people involved in such a convention are concerned. Is part of what we've been doing with Sherman Institute is looking at the pinnacle of the American university. What were these people thinking that they were so smart back in the early days of our nation? How did we produce such statesmen that could look at a problem and figure out we need these gears, we need this lever, we need this, and we create these machines? I mean, these people weren't going to school with the intention of, I got to get me a job. These people were coming out of school ready to put 20,000 people to work. They led the Industrial Revolution. They had higher standards and much, much more smarts. Mm-hmm. We started studying this. And when you look at the type of education that was delivered, what the Founding Fathers and that group of people did, all you got to do is read the Federalist Papers, and you can see what, by modern standards, is like a 23rd grade reading level. These weren't, your typical matriculating bachelors. These people were smart.
Yeah.
And, we got some smart people out there. Not that he's my favorite person, but Al Gore has a fairly decent IQ. You'd never know it to talk to him sometimes or to hear him talk.
Well, I'm glad he invented the internet because,
Oh, absolutely.
Very nice.
But all kidding aside, with people that are fairly easy targets, your average, who would be at a convention today? Okay, maybe it's the president of the Senate. Well, these folks are pretty sharp. There's no doubt about it. But do they have the wisdom of what liberty means, or are they in their position maybe because of they're one of those two categories of people that run for office? Let's face it, there really are two people, two types. One is the altruist, the activist who has a problem and decides, I'm going to help fix things, I want to get in there and do something. And the other is the silver spooner that already has his corporate money from third generation now, and the only thing left is power. So those are the people who tend to get to the leadership roles and people follow what they say. Mm-hmm. They're not the second coming, folks. They just have a lot of money. And they got that way by greed and other features that were totally absent in any of the delegates to the first convention. Well, let's say there was a little bit. Ben Franklin, the guy was a friend of paper money. Well, he owned a printing press. Okay, there was some self-interest there. But guess what? The minds of the convention said coin money. They used the word coin as a verb, which means you can't coin paper. Paper money was prohibited by our Constitution. If we want to fix our problems as a nation, first thing we ought to do is try the Constitution for a while. It's been a while since we've used it the way it was intended, the way it was written, and according to the very clear words in it. These folks today just don't choose their words very carefully. And to trust them with even tinkering with the Constitution, much less the potential for a total rewrite, that's just asinine to a level I can't even comprehend.
Well, the thing that you're talking about, the differences of education back then versus now, and one of the things that really struck me when I heard you talking about that was the fact that you said that the people back then would have to know how they couldn't graduate unless they knew how to write and be fluent in parse Greek, Latin, and Hebrew.
You didn't even get into Yale in the 1820s unless you were fluent in those three languages.
Yeah, that's just incredible.
If you set up a business, you set up a manufacturing plant, you didn't need the United States Department of Commerce to negotiate your trade deal. You could do it in multiple languages yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a totally different world than these guys who created this great experiment in liberty. And I'll be darned if I'm going to stand back and watch a new breed of, you know, international society of do-gooders try to fix what they perceive as flaws in a document they're not even abiding by.
Yeah, you know, David, I think this is a good place to bring you into the conversation, too, because we're just talking not only about the differences in education with regard to, education itself, the differences from today versus back then, but also it's a morality issue. You know, the morals were much different back in around the time of 1787.
Indeed, and we would contend that our founders held a worldview that was based upon, well, they called it the laws of nature and nature's God, and many people today don't understand what that phrase meant because they don't understand the background that our founders were reading. William Blackstone and Blackstone's book, The Commentaries on the Laws of England, was the authority in all legal structure for the first 100-plus years, maybe even 150 years in our country. And Blackstone clearly expressed there's only three types of law. There's the laws of nature, which he said is what God has emplaced in human minds and human hearts. You might say human conscience is what he was speaking of there, the laws of nature. The second type of revelation is God has revealed his law in Scripture, which is the Bible. So those two phrases in our Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God, come from Blackstone. In a sense, they're paraphrasing Blackstone, and they're saying the Bible is the standard by which we are measuring King George III's failure, his failure to rule justly, and therefore we have another God-given right in addition to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We have the God-given right to abolish that form of government that no longer protects our God-given rights. And where do we get that right? We find it in the laws of nature and nature's God, the Bible. So that's the foundation, and the worldview is really clearly expressed there in the Declaration of Independence. First element of the worldview is this: there is a creator God. Second element in that worldview is that that God is the one who gave us our rights. So our rights come from God. They don't come from government. They don't come from some bureaucrat down in Washington, D.C., counting beans or determining how much water you can flush down your toilet or other idiocies. No. Your rights come from God. And the third element of their worldview, expressed very, very clearly there in the Declaration of Independence, is that the sole and only purpose for the existence of civil government at all is to protect and to secure your God-given rights. So,
yeah.
Take that worldview and say, how many people in Washington, D.C., or how many people even in your state capitals across this country share that worldview? And I dare say almost nil. You might find one or two here or there, but the rarity. So if the people we're going to choose from don't hold the worldview of what the purpose of government is, they're not going to secure our God-given rights, whatever they create. It'll be something other than
that. And that's the whole point. You know, unless we have moral people running the show, and moral people basically among us, you know, unless we're moral people, you know, we're not going to enforce any constitution, and that's the key. All right, let's take the bottom of the hour break here, and we'll continue on here on Govern America. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back. This is Governed America, visiting with Aaron Bollinger and David Whitney of the Sherman Institute. That's shermaninstitute.info and shermaninstitute.org. And we're talking about this Constitutional Convention push that's sweeping once again our land. And David and Aaron, I want to get back to the subject at hand here with regard to Article 5. This Article 5 provision that's been put into the Constitution, of course, you know, two ways to amend the Constitution in Article 5, one initiated by the feds, which I guess has been the one that's always been used.
That's right.
And then there's the other one that is the one that's initiated by the states, and that's the one that we're really concerned about. Now, the other side would have us say, or they would say, and I think they have said, that why would the Founding Fathers put something in there that would be that, you know, if it's that dangerous and that's something we all should fear, why would they have bothered to put that text in there in the first place? Basically, it looks like this is pretty much a reset button on the whole, you know, they would say a reset button on runaway government. Aaron, when I talked to you the other day, you said basically it's also a self-destruct button. But,
we don't want certain people like Al Gore having their finger on that button, that's for sure. here's the thing. You know, when they passed that convention originally and brought the Constitution forward and handed it to the states, this was their idea on how to fix the perceived and real defects of the Articles of Confederation. And they knew they had went far beyond what anything was given to them as their mission statement. They didn't just, you know, amend the Articles. They wrote a whole new document. Mm-hmm. So one of the selling points at the end of the event was, okay, if you don't like what we did, do it over. And here's a way you can do it. We can start, we can try this, and if you don't like it in 5 years, we can have another convention and start over.
So it was added there as a reassurance because there was a lot of anxiety at the time about what they did in throwing out the Articles of Confederation.
Yeah, I mean, it was like any other marketing ploy. Here's a reset button. If you don't like it, you know, we can do it again. And among other things, because they did put the amendment provision in there, and of course, as we know, before the Constitution was even adopted, there was no Bill of Rights with it, and the states insisted. So they amended it before they even said, let's try this. So mm-hmm. they was actually originally 12 proposed amendments. Now, here's where it gets fun right now today. The average Joe doesn't know, or if he does know there were 12, he doesn't know what those other two were. One of them is real important to this discussion because, and I'm going to tie about four things together here, Pastor Whitney's discussion on biblical principles and the biblical worldview that was contained within those folks within that convention. There's a biblical commandment that says, thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights and measures, but a perfect and just weight. Now, what's that all about? Well, of course, we know money, historically and up until the 1960s, consisted of silver and gold, at least in this country. It still does worldwide. The unit is still gold on any major transactions. So, the conventioners are meeting. They got a problem. There's 13 different sovereign states, each with a different money system, and they knew that biblical commandment. So what they did was in the first article, they gave Congress the power to coin money, you know, that means metals, you can't coin paper, we've already established that, and to fix the standards of weight and measures in the same clause of the Constitution. So you want a balanced federal budget, which is what they're talking about now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is apply that, but it gets better because money and taxes are so intricately married. You can have just money and unjust taxes, and you're still going to have a calamity of government. Or you can have just taxes and unjust money, and you're going to have rampant inflation and all the things that we're seeing right now. So how do we affect this balanced budget using the formula of the Constitution? Well, there's another principle embodied in there. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, and Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4. It's called proportional obligation. The Founding Fathers knew that with rights came responsibilities, so they put an emergency clause in there for money. If the federal government spends more than it brings in, or in the words of the Founding Fathers, when the exigencies are not met, okay, mm-hmm. then they have this little power to borrow, but it's only short term. They're supposed to then go back to the states and lay a proportional direct tax based on the apportionment formula. Now, today, let's think of it today. Pastor Whitney, Maryland has, what, 8 congressmen?
Yeah.
There's 435 total. So in any year where the budget doesn't balance, the Congress is supposed to go to the state of Maryland and say, we need this amount of money. Your share is 8/435th. Of that total. New York, you got more representatives, 34, 35, whatever the number is, you pay 35/435th. California, Texas, big states, you pay a bigger share because your congressmen are spending the money. Now, mm-hmm. the problem with that is if we did that today, now let me tell you, that has been used historically many times. It balanced our budgets after the Revolutionary War and all those things, but they quit doing it at the end of the Civil War, because it's a real big problem. You know why? It forces accountability for their spending back to the states in the year the money's spent. Can you imagine this current Congress coming back to our states, draining their treasuries of what little they have left, and say, well, we needed this for all these good worldly programs? Mm-hmm. You know, they'd be putting hangman nooses up in the middle of every congressional district, and these guys would never get back to Washington. So we can't have accountability for spending. You know, we just can't do that. We can't run this welfare state that way. So they don't do it anymore. But your balanced budget amendment doesn't even need to be there. It's already embodied in it. But that was one of the 12 amendments that was proposed. Seven of the 13 states said that Congress shall not lay a direct tax, but when the monies arising from the impost duties and the excise are insufficient for the public exigencies, nor then until Congress shall have first made a requisition upon the state to assess, levy, and pay its proportion share. Now, if that amendment had been passed, it would have just clarified the wording that's already there. But they didn't need it. It didn't need to pass. And they did it. They extinguished the war debt of 1812, everything up to and including the Civil War, by apportioning a direct tax back on the states, borrow the money for 6 months, however long it takes to collect it from the states, retire the debt, no long-term borrowing.
Yeah.
But that proportional obligation, it's a biblical principle with rights come responsibilities, and it's already there. We don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to live by it.
Well, that's certainly something that would be would put, as you say, enmity between the federal government and the states. One of the problems that we have, of course, as you well know, is that we have this gravy train of federal money coming into the states that the states compete for, the states work for, you know, jump through hoops and do whatever they can to get that federal money. There needs to be a way of bringing the states to the point where they are assuming their rightful role of basically playing federal policemen.
Well, it's even better, because that same rule that says what we have to do when we need to borrow says what we should do when there's money left over. If there's federal money left over, they shouldn't be, you know, investing in all kinds of other things. That's not the government's role. They're not to be investors. All they need to do is say, hey, guess what, guys? We've raised $50 billion more than we've needed for our little meager, you know, frugal budget in Washington. We're going to divide that up among the states. So, Maryland, you get eight four hundred and thirty-fifths of what we have left over. And they don't hand it to the state under any revenue sharing. You have to buy this. You have to get this. You need to do this with this bridge and this road. They give it to the state legislature, and the state legislature says, this is what we need to do, guys.
Mm-hmm. David, let me ask you a question. Is not the grant funding apparatus that is happening with all of these so-called partners and stakeholders of government also a huge dilemma constitutionally?
Yes, and you know, the whole system is so, I guess you'd say, it's so broken away from what our founders designed with the limitations that they structured into place. As Aaron described one element of that, and there's many other elements that would have prevented the federal government from ever creating these, what you would call bribes. That is, biblically, the command is that a person who's in a position of power, not only in the judiciary, but also in the legislative and the executive branch, is prohibited from taking any bribes. That is, any advantage gained to them personally for what they're doing in their position of power. And essentially, that's what all of these things are, so that the state government, in cahoots with the federal government, is getting some special privileges because it's going to do, well, maybe take Common Core as an example. Well, the
let's pick it up right there. That sounds like a good place to pick it up on the other side of the break. We're visiting with Aaron Bollinger and David Whitney of the Sherman Institute, and we're talking about the Constitutional Convention push all across America. We'll be back in a few moments.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's S-T-E-M-G-E-V-I-T-Y. Stemgevity.com. or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN, the number 4, all.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
All right, welcome back. This is Govern America. The website, by the way, is governamerica.com. That's www.governamerica.com. And I hope you'll go there on the main page. We have a list of the committee members for the Michigan Financial Liability Reform Committee, where SJRV, as in Victor, is currently housed. This is the Michigan call for a constitutional convention. And so we have all the committee members, and we're going to be adding the names of the sponsors of that resolution there as well. I didn't have a chance to get them up there before showtime, but we'll add those a little bit later on. But anyway, I encourage all of you folks out there to call those numbers and let them know. And if you can't get a hold of the actual legislators, then leave a message on their voicemail. They need to have hundreds of messages from people educating them about the dangers of a constitutional convention. That resolution needs to die in that committee. So that's all up on the website at governamerica.com. Our guests today are Aaron Bollinger. He's one of the founders of the Sherman Institute, and also Pastor David Whitney, who teaches there as well. And David, before the break, you were talking about, you were addressing Nancy's question with regard to grant money, and you were just getting ready to bring up Common Core.
Yes, because that's a perfect illustration of how this works. back in 2010, 45 states signed up for it, and it gave them billions of dollars. The federal government promised billions of dollars. Where was that money coming from? Well, of course, ultimately it's coming out of the taxpayers from the states themselves. They're going to be paying for this, but that money goes to the federal government. Then the federal government returns it to the states with these strings attached, and essentially it committed each of those states to forcing every government-run school to use Common Core curriculum for their classroom, in spite of the fact that nobody had been able to look at what Common Core was when they signed on to this commitment in 2010. In fact, one person in our state, one educator, has described it as, "We're building the plane as we fly it." What insanity
is
that?
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds like Nancy Pelosi. Let's pass this thing so we know what's in it.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Yeah, so all 45 states committed to this, and now they're stuck with it, or they have the tough choice to make, and they could make this tough choice to turn down the federal money and say, we're going to be hurting because we were counting on this to pay for our public education system, but we recognize the education of our children is more important than getting this money that will balance our state budget. Basically balance it on the backs of these children that are going to be dumbed down with this Common Core education.
Well,
but the federal government does that all the time, bribing the states to do what it wants the states to do, rather than the way it should be, our old system, where there was no individual income tax. The 16th Amendment, by the way, we teach a course that talks about that, and that does not change what many people perceive and does not change Article 1, Section 9 that says that no capitation tax is permissible, that is no tax upon the individual citizen. As Aaron described it before, the federal government comes to the state, says, state, your portion of the federal deficit is this, X. You've got to pay this. The state then chooses how it's going to raise those funds among its own citizens.
We've
got to raise the sales tax or something like that.
Another beauty of that, David, if the states would neglect to it, and not attend to it, then the feds could come in and actually collect the tax themselves. But guess what? They had to use the rules of tax collection that exist in the state when they were doing it. So they couldn't even create their own rules. There's no federal tax rules for taxing individuals within the state.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were...
Well, I want to tie another thing into that whole Common Core thing. When you study education, like we have, to figure out what was right and what was wrong, you'll actually see people like the University of Chicago, a generation ago at least, using the term Common Core. And when they used the term Common Core at that time, it meant the common curriculum that all of the Ivy League and any school worth attending in the early part of our nation used as the foundation of the program. And that was a two-part collective type of education under one heading called trivium, under another heading called quadrivium. You studied grammar, logic, rhetoric, and dialectic, and you studied numbers, which is the grammar of math. You studied music, which is numbers in time. You studied geometry, which is numbers in space. And you studied astronomy, which is numbers in space and time. So you had all, that was the Common Core. That's what Common Core actually means if you look it up in an older type of dictionary. They've applied it to something completely new, like they did welfare. You know, welfare in the Constitution doesn't mean what we see now. Not even close.
Right,
but
exactly.
That's what they do. They're completely changing the definition of important words to suit their own agenda and then applying it.
Well, this is really, when we talk about the federal gravy train and all this money flowing down from the feds, you know, it's not just the states, by the way, that we have to worry about. I mean, we've got gifts, largesse, flowing down into our cities and our local police departments. You know, this Homeland Security apparatus, this behemoth that has basically woven its tentacles all around us in the form of fusion centers and what have you. But they're bestowing military armaments and you know, tank-like
Well, we were looking at this stuff back in the 1970s when Tricky Dick himself, Richard Nixon, actually divided the United States up into 10 federal regions, set all the grant-making apparatus in those headquarters areas. You know, that's the whole point of this constitutional convention. They've already divided us up into 10 new states. And the only way they can implement their new state's constitution is with a convention. So, folks, this is nothing new. This is old-school stuff. There was a movement afoot in 1976, the bicentennial of our independence, to open a convention. And $25 million was spent by the think tanks to create this new state's constitution. They tried to get a convention open that year. They couldn't. Then they used the federal budget as a, you know, we talk about a balanced budget amendment. For Pete's sake, I'd like to see a budget. They haven't had one for, what, 30 years? It's been a series of continuing resolutions. Forget balanced budget. Let's see a budget. Let's see. They need to tell us. The Constitution says that a, you know, a receipt, a document or something, what's the word I'm looking for here, a report of the expenditures shall be published from time to time. That doesn't mean every 50 years, okay? You know, we had an annual budget that we knew what was going in. There's no room in the Constitution for black ops budgets and military off book. There's no room in the Constitution for $500 hammers because you've got 50 greedy unions pulling money off the people that they're now sending in as contractors to wash the laundry for our troops. You know, my uncle and my father's generation served in World War II. They didn't have contractors doing their laundry. They probably lived in the same clothes for about 6 months while they sat over there in Bastogne fighting Hitler's guys. You know, this is ridiculous, the kind of money that's being just plain wasted. If it was a necessary expense, it would be one thing. But this is nothing but pure greed that's driving this budget into its current condition. And if they published a report of what they were spending, we'd know where it's going. But we don't even have that now.
Well, and the question is, would anybody do about it? Anything about it? If they did publish such a report, I mean, once in a while, some of these sunshine projects do shine lights upon some of the government waste. But, you know, it's almost like people have really become immune to these shocking things. And, you know, we live really in the age of sensationalism. We live in the age where people have really been dulled to a lot of this shocking stuff, these abuses.
Nothing surprises anybody anymore.
Right.
And you can't see if there's any blame for that. I mean, that's just the way this whole, you know, the founding fathers, John Adams, one of our first presidents, said the Constitution was meant to govern a moral people, and it's wholly inadequate for any other.
Well, you know, the issue here is that I don't think that any Constitution, even if we had another amendment or even a whole new Constitution, what difference would it make if the people aren't willing to stand up and govern and instruct their leaders?
Well, there's the core of it. They won't abide by what we've got. What good's a new amendment going to do? The whole Conference of States, as it was named in code word Conference of States in the 90s to try to sneak it past us, that didn't work. I've been fighting this con for close to 30 years now. And, you know, Jim Davidson and National Taxpayers Union and all them were pushing for the balanced budget right after Nelson Rockefeller couldn't get his way with the 1976 attempt at a convention. So about every 10 years this thing comes up. And it's unfortunate that this current movement is being pushed now. You know, ALEC is still there, the American Legislative Exchange Council. I know these states. I've worked in them for years, okay?
Okay, we have to take the top of the hour news. I'm sorry about that. Let's pick it up with ALEC and some of the people that are behind this latest push when we come back, okay? Folks, we're visiting with Aaron Bollinger and David Whitney. We have to take the top of the hour break and news for the stations. We'll be back in a moment. This is Govern America. Stay with us.